Welcome to the Destructive Doctrine Podcast, where we navigate the divine realm
in search of the uncensored truth.
And now, here are your hosts, the dynamic twin duo, Mikey and Dino.
Hey, we are back. Welcome back to the Disruptive Doctrine Podcast, and we are on time this time. We're on a Wednesday. Last week, I don't remember why we didn't record on time, but we are on time. It is Wednesday.
Every time we're late most of the time, it's my
100. I'm just kidding. No, it's not.
Let's be real.
A majority of the time, but it's not like every single time.
Like 9 out of 10 times.
I'd say 8. There's a couple times where
8.
I just...
5.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we're back. Consistency is key. We love talking to you guys. We love talking scripture. And today, I want to go ahead and get right into it. This is going to be a cool topic. So,
you know what would have been the perfect intro song to today's episode?
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Do, 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 do. All right, now our listeners are going to report me to my pastor. And
like, oh my gosh, are you ready for me to be reported? What if Jesus actually sang that song asking us, don't hurt me anymore?
Okay, we're not going to throw Jesus into this role play.
Oh my God,
we're not going to do
disciplina. But let me ask you this. So that's how we're going to segue into this. So I want to ask you, if you had to describe, what does it look like to love the Lord?
Or maybe what does God's love look like?
No, we know what God's love looked like. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That part's on a checkbox.
Yeah, facts.
But how do... If you know, so basically the topic came up because I see a lot of people talking about my relationship with Jesus is what gets me to heaven. And that is true to a certain extent.
Yeah, but they use that to justify their sinfulness.
That's exactly my point. So again... It's they say that because they want to choose relationship over righteousness. They say that relationship gets me into heaven so I don't have to be righteous.
It doesn't matter if I do this is not. I have a relationship with God. He understands.
Yeah, so that's my point. So it's kind of like, okay, so if we're going to say we're in a relationship, right? And if we're going to just simply talk about what relationships, you know, as human beings, what does a relationship look like? The relationship is two people who... are in love and they're working towards getting to know each other, loving each other. So if someone, all these people that say, oh yeah, I'm good because I got a relationship with Jesus. If we ask Jesus, yo, how y'all doing?
Jesus is going to be like, he said he has a what with me? That boy don't got a relationship. He got a situationship, boy.
Like, yep.
I haven't talked to this man.
That boy tried to be friends with benefits.
Oh, that's not weird.
But they that's how we treat them. As in, I go to you when I want something.
Right. Hey, I know I've prayed to you in about 6 months.
Let's not get wild. Let's not get wild.
I was just going to say there's a promotion coming up and I need your help. Oh, there's a shoddy at church.
Oh, shoddy? Oh, my God. I have not. You just aged yourself. Yo, stop. We're going to get canceled.
What is wrong? Cancel me then, bro. I ain't enough.
All right. So, but the point is, like I said, you know, people talk about being in a relationship, and that question came to my mind. If we were to ask Jesus, how y'all doing? Like, how's y'all? And we have, like, our friends and stuff that are in relationships. Like, yo, how you and your girl? You know, that's just guy talk.
Y'all still together?
That's guy talking about y'all still together.
Hey, oh, what happened?
If it's the dudes though, it's kind of like, yo, she hasn't left you yet. Like, she hasn't realized that she's out of your league yet. Like, we cracked our jokes and stuff, but like on the real, like, what would Jesus respond? And what does love look like in a relationship with Jesus? Because we know a relationship without love doesn't work. So,
well, a lot of relationships with Jesus sadly are very one-sided.
Yeah, no, 100%, and that's what we're gonna get into this. So, the first things first, in a relationship with the Lord, we have to love Him. Matthew 22:37 says, "Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind.'" It's gonna be for another episode, but I read that verse today differently today. Heart is physical. You have, you know, we have our physical heart, so you got to love the Lord with your physical body. You got to love the Lord with the soul that lives forever. You got to love the Lord with your thoughts. Like, it's a three-dimensional love in that verse that he's referencing that connects with the verse we'll read later. But that'll be for a whole nother episode. The point is, we have to love him. We have to love the Lord. He doesn't have to prove that he loves us because he already did that. So one aspect of love in this relationship with Christ is he does not have to prove anything to us. His love is perfect. He is love. God is love. So he doesn't have to prove us that he loves us because it's literally who he is. So right. What's crazy about a relationship with the Lord is the love aspect of it is really us proving to him that we love him. Because his love is perfect. He cannot love us. His love is perfect. So it's really, it's just, do I love you back?
Right.
Dang. Like, when you really, like, bro, so I'm going to put Mikey on blast here. I'm not going to say the name, but there was this one chick that we grew up and Mikey crush on her for years. And we were best friends.
Her cheese, hot dogs, and everything at her house.
So
bro.
me and my brother were best friends with her brother, the girl that my brother liked. So Mikey stayed getting rejected because even bro, if we don't have, we can go more back. Bro, in kindergarten, first grade, my brother had a crush on the daughter of one of our teachers, and one night she was
something.
Danielle
bro, Hines.
Yes, and my brother's emotionally told her, "I love you." And she said, I don't love you.
Even more back, my first crush was Danielle Fulmer. Or was it Tony?
No, it was Tony.
Tony and then Danielle Fulmer.
But Mikey ran around the playground saying, "You broke my heart." Yeah. So, you know.
What a simp.
Okay, so basically, you know, for those who don't have a relationship with the Lord.
Memories, by the way.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, thanks for that.
This is just to show, you know, let's make sure that let's not let our relationship with the Lord be one-sided. Let's not let it be where he loves us and we're just like, I see you more like a friend. Let's not friend zone Jesus. So the first point I wrote here was we can't love God based off of human love standards. This was going right for the jugular. Human standards of love. We can tell a woman or a woman telling man, oh, yeah, no, I love you. But then we cheat. We're watching porn. We flirt with other women or other men. We disrespect them. We don't communicate correctly. We get angry. We get abusive. We get narcissistic. We get manipulative.
That's a huge one. Manipulation in a relationship. And it's bro, so toxic. Oh, my God.
So bro, hard. I know that I know that's gonna have to be a topic, dude. Because yeah, that
the misery it brings. I mean,
oh
it's
my
just,
God, bro! And there are some professional manipulators, bro.
Oh,
like
yeah.
PhD.
And it's not like one. It's not like one gender more than the other gender.
Oh no, it's
just
equally.
Humanity. Just
yeah,
people will do whatever they need to do to make sure they get whatever they want. Like
facts. So. In order for me to love Jesus the same way he's referencing in Matthew 22:37, I have to love Christ according to his standards of what love is. Because if I don't love him based on his standards of love, our relationship with Christ goes down the drain. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4, very popular verse. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith and is always hopeful and endures every circumstance. So, you know, I've heard a lot of preachers and stuff. They take this verse and talk about how we love others. But what I wrote down on my notebook as I was studying the scripture is, Do we ask ourselves these questions towards Christ? Are we patient with the Lord? Are we kind to the Lord? Are we jealous with the Lord? This one kind of connects with envy. It's kind of like, so, and this is such a crazy concept about the love of Christ. He loves the entire church the same. The body of Christ, his love is equal amongst every member of the body of Christ. So are you jealous when you see him loving someone else while you're in your waiting season, but that person is not in their waiting season, so they're getting
yeah,
their prayer
at that point. It's like
and obviously this is where the mistake is, because let's say you see God, blessings are not directly connected to how much he loves us. Ooh, sometimes sometimes people are going to receive blessings that just don't make sense, and technically they didn't deserve it. It's called grace and mercy. And he's doing it. He's like, all right, this is like a last Hail Mary, and if I don't reel him in now, I might lose him forever, right? But then we automatically associate it with, damn, man, I've been faithful to you this whole time, and you
associated with grace and favor.
And then you over here blessing this man when he just got back to church like 8 seconds ago. Are you serious? And we like you said, we correlate the amount of blessings we get to how much God loves us. And there's some people that God makes wait the longest, and those are the ones that he's like, I don't love you more than the other, but you know, it's just calling it how it is. There are simply people whose purpose for his purpose in Christ's mission or God's mission for earth. There's some people whose purpose on earth is going to be greater than others in a sense, per se, as far as some people are just made to handle more responsibility better than others. And
it's not even that they're made, because everybody's made equally. Is it that person wanted it more?
Right.
So like continuing with the verse, you know, love is not irritable. How do we get irritable with Christ? Do we start getting mad at him? And it says it does not demand its own way. Husbands, that's a big one.
Husbands, can we answer that real, like, accurately without trying to sugar?
Nah,
I'll admit, I really need to get better at being patient with my wife. I'm not even going to lie. I'm just going to be transparent. I really have to get better, because when things, like, I'm very sharp-minded. I'm very quick-witted. Like, I have, most of the time, something comes up and I got a solution. Boom. It's just my mind is wired that way. My wife is the kind of person who just, she has to read the situation from all 38 angles and has things, I have to repeat myself 5 or 6 times for her to get it. And I, at that point, I'm losing. I'm like, oh my God, but I have to get better. Love is patient.
And that's going to be discussed later on. Love never gives up. So do we ever give up on Christ? Mm. Love never loses faith. So is, like I said, we apply this to our marriage. We apply it to our relationships, our friendships. But like, do we ever apply it to how we love Jesus? Like, this is literally the Lord saying, this is how I want to be loved. Because if it says love the Lord, he's saying, I want to be loved to these standards. But we hardly ever ask ourselves, how are we loving the Lord? So now if we read that and we kind of correlate that, right? Now we're like, okay, well, I want to love Jesus better. So how do I love Jesus? And then we realize, like, homie's a spirit. The God man, he's in heaven. So I can't hug him, can't do anything up there. So now we have the Holy Spirit, and homie's a spirit. So it's like, how do I love God? And God, before the earth was even created, was like, bet, I'm way ahead of you, right? So now we're going to go to our base scripture. It's going to be Matthew 25. Matthew 25, starting starting verse 31. It says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king shall say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So up until that point, you know, we're up to verse 40. That verse, and you're about to You're about to get sugar. It's something I noticed today for the first time reading this scripture.
Talk to him.
But just first of all, the overall concept of that's how we love the Lord. When it says love the Lord with all your heart.
And we've said it multiple times on this podcast and multiple episodes, right? If you look at Jesus's ministry, out of everything he did, the thing that stood out the most was just simply how he treated people. It's that simple.
Facts.
It's just his interactions. He didn't just speak about his love. He's like, I'm going to show y'all what it means to genuinely love like I do. Right.
Yeah, and we've talked about it at the gospel is literally looking how Jesus treated people and then copying it. So obviously, like I said, we can't hug Jesus. We can't give him kisses. We can't shower him with love physically yet. So this is how we do it. You know, you treat and when people say, well, what does it have to do with loving Jesus? Well, Jesus is the head. We are the body. So whatever you do, your body, if it's one body.
It's if like you're that hugging, one song, if we are the body.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I actually was listening to that song today. I'm like, bro, this message could never have hit. That's
a throwback.
And it's word, dude. Now check this out. When I was reading, for I was hungry and you fed me. He's talking to the righteous. So if he's saying that these are the righteous, that means that these were people who preached the word, lived according to a righteous testimony, had a righteous relationship with the Lord. They did sacrifice the flesh and live in the spirit. So they checked all the boxes because they're already being put into the sheepfold and they're being called righteous and they're in.
Yeah.
So when he says, for I was hungry and you fed me, I'm like, Lord, you're not talking about regular food. You're not talking about food because there's no way that giving someone who was hungry food is considered righteous because Mr. Beast gets food. Elon Musk gets food. Jay-Z gets food. So what food is he talking about? He's talking about the word.
You can't use Jay-Z. Did you hear about what he's doing?
Yo, stop, chill. The point is, anybody with money, anybody can give food.
Yeah.
When he's saying, I was hungry.
Satanists and atheists give food to food pantries and Meals on Wheels and donate money.
Yeah. So when it says for our, so now because of that, so this, because of this thought process where
right.
It can't be literal food. What kind of food? What is he hungry for? Well, what's something that righteous people feed to those who are hungry? The word. I was hungry for the word and you fed me with the word. I was thirsty. The Bible says that we have rivers of flowing water, the rivers of life flowing through us through the Holy Spirit. I was thirsty and you gave me the drink.
He's talking about pretty much essentially evangelizing.
Exactly. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. Our home is the temple. Our home is the church. So we went out to the streets and we brought people to church. We evangelize.
And what's crazy is that it's usually interpreted in the physical sense.
Yes.
But if you are living the word and being the living water and giving, you're going to end up doing that stuff anyways.
Correct. It's
just a byproduct of the genuine.
Exactly. So that's where I wanted to go with it, where I've heard this verse preached many times and people say, okay, so I'm going to go find someone who's hungry on the street and feed them and that's going to count. Well, no, because anybody can do that.
44 Quartz Court, Lakeland, Florida, 33811.
That is funny.
Feed hungry people, you can send Instacarts my way.
Nah, you need about 80 days of fasting. But
yo,
that was such a quick trigger.
Yo, you didn't even aim down the sight, but you just hit.
But fire. Now this is where it actually gets prettier for me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. What are we clothed with? When we accept Jesus, he says we are given new clothes. So now we're not just talking about inviting people to church, but now we're talking about leading them to the altar, leading them to the cross so they can become saved and receive new clothes. I was sick and you cared for me. And when I was in prison, when I was stuck in my sin, when I was stuck in my addiction, when I was a prisoner to my flesh, you rescued me. You visited me. So this, you know, now we're talking about like, bro, again, you know, it's not about the appearance of looking holy. It's like, yo, what is your actual testimony? Like, show me the fruit. And the crazy thing is, like, it says that the righteous ones will reply, when did we ever see you? So they would have been so focused on just trying to live like Christ,
yeah, but
that they wouldn't even realize.
You know what's crazy, though? Because they responded, when did we even see this? So it's not even just the fact of literal sense, but I just, you know, there's so many layers to that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. We're going to have to do a deeper dive. Saying, right? Yes, yes. And then it says, then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me to your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick in prison and you didn't visit me. And then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in a prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. So the thought that the Lord put on my heart heavy, and this is, doesn't say we got to start having more difficult conversations in church, because the church has gone way too. I know this is a crazy thought, and hear me out.
I'm listening.
Church has gone way too easy to attend. Because, and it, like I said, and because it can be,
it's like church, many churches have taken out or removed the concept of sacrificing the flesh to genuinely achieve the stuff that God wants.
Because they think that stuff will turn away people. But then you have, you know, shout out to Templo de Dios at TLH, which is the church I was at before I began pastoring, and their pastor is Luis Toro. That man is the GOAT, because he has established a culture in that church where there is conviction almost in every service. There's always someone that comes up and they're like, bro,
from experience, because I am still there at that church and I've been there.
But the point is that in that church, I've never seen a church where people were so excited at the feeling of conviction.
Bro, Lewis, all jokes aside, you know how many times, and I want to make, for those of you guys who do go to church, right? And for all my músicos out there, shout out to you. Because I was talking to Pastor. I said, you know how hard it is as a músico? And when people don't think about it from this perspective. There are so many times that I want to go up for prayer during the altar call. But I can't. Because I have to play piano. And there's no one out. Like, this past Sunday was one of those days. I was wrecked. I really wanted a hug. I needed a hug. I needed a prayer. And I'm looking around and none of the backups or other pianos were there. I was like, I guess I can't get the prayer I needed. And I go home and didn't get that moment because I have to minister, right? So shout out to musicals who understand the servitude that goes behind this. But anyways, the point is that when I am up there during the altar calls and I see other people getting their blessings or other people, like, whether it's a visita or not, when they're breaking down in tears and you see the hugs and when the pastor says, hey, you know, they're accepting God, I cry. I get emotional. And, like, I don't even know you, but I – and you can even ask Alice. She sees me, right? And then I'm with my lips quivering, just like, – I don't even know you, but the fact that I know that you're about to meet Jesus and you're about to experience a life – like, it gets me emotional every time. I'm just like – I just want to
run. Yeah, and that's the thing, that church has established a culture where they have beautified conviction in a way where, like, yo, I'm confronting this toxic behavior, but I'm gonna hug you throughout the entire process. There's no thing in that church. 99% of the ministry of the administración is literally just hugs. It's, yo, someone come give this man a hug. And he starts calling, like, yeah, the Sunday where I was there the last time, yeah, when that one youth came, and then all the youth, without having to be told, just came up to the front and just created a dog pile, just surrounded this man. I'm like, this man came in and basically admitted to his sin. And look at the way the youth reached on. It was love.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Like, my hairs are raising. I feel like crying right now, bro. The thing is that, is the Bible says that every time a soul comes to Christ, the angels rejoice in heaven. And, like, why aren't you feeling that same rejoicing?
Correct.
And what's to even go further beyond that, there are times where you have someone who's been out of church for a while, and maybe it's just, you know, it was a simple backslide. Like, they didn't go start going doing crazy stuff. They just talked
about it for a while. Yeah.
And then there's some that just went bananas in the world.
Like, you know what, to the wall. Like,
yeah, like just crazy. And they come back to have this moment of reconciliation. And it's like the first thing people are like, let's see how long this time it lasts. Oh, like, there are people who say that.
No, bro, they got pools going on. $20, it lasts like, 2 weeks.
It's like, oh. Yeah. And it's like, bro, can you just
enjoy? Well, that goes back to 1 Corinthians. It says, it does not rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever the truth wins.
And it's just like,
love rejoices.
That's
you know why that statement is so powerful? Love rejoices when the truth wins. Because, like, we talked about spiritual warfare, that the job of a demon is to protect the lie. So when the truth wins, love rejoices.
And that's why I get emotional, Louis, whenever I see someone coming.
It's seeing someone saying, you just got exposed to the truth, and now you're seeing the truth, and now you're accepting your truth, and you're breaking free from the lie. Love should be rejoicing at that moment.
Yeah, what's even better, I love it when I see the you know how Pastor does. You see the process, he'll call them out from the bench, and, you know, you can tell, like, they're probably already aware, like, oh, man, I'm about to get wrecked. And then you see them slowly walking up to then ending up on the floor somewhere, just in tears. And then and people just start going by the multitude.
Yo, like, I'm going to plug this so hard. If you guys live anywhere in the vicinity of Valrico, Florida, Tampa, anywhere in Hillsborough, y'all need to hit up TLH. This is, I'm 100% biased because
experiences here, Pastor. If you're just looking for an experience.
No, this church is a culture of love, prayer, breakthrough, community, servitude. I mean, it broke me when God called me to pastor. Like, oh, you would think you'd be excited to start pastoring? Nah, it was hard leaving that church. It was hard for me to leave that church. That church was connected to me. It was part of who I was. But then I also took, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring some of TLH over here. So I'm going to attempt to bring some of TLH over to South Carolina because we need some TLH.
My brother's been trying to get me up there. That's what he means. My brother's trying to get me.
No. I'm not talking about you, boy. You can say. I'm just talking about the whole concept. thought you wanted to be a. But anyways.
Cancel my flight ticket then. Jeez.
Cancel it, boy. Listen, so that's all I got. Today's a shorter episode, but I really wanted to start on this concept, this topic, because, again, we talk about loving the Lord with all your heart, but whose standards, what standard of love are you using to love the Lord? And, you know, are you loving the Lord but loving your neighbor with that same standard? Because that's another whole thing too. It's like, yeah, no, I love the Lord. Me and God are tight, but then you treat his people like garbage.
And I'll say this. I joke around a lot. I know, I get that. But all seriousness, guys, if you're listening to this podcast right now, and I'm saying this from the sincerity, the bottom of my freaking heart, if you have not, and it's frustrating. It's really
bro,
frustrating.
Bro, speak it. I can tell you're in the truth moon right now. Drop
because
it.
Because the portrayal of who God is has been so distorted the last, you know, generations, so skewed that there's so many quote unquote interpretations about what God is really about. That's why some people low key, like, you know, you preach this, but I see this. You preach this, but I like, it ain't mathin', right? The math ain't mathin'. But I'm going to just give you a genuine piece of advice. If you want to experience the genuine reality of a true interaction with God, don't even wait for someone to invite. I would recommend lock yourself up in a room, in your home, sit down, and just start opening up. No filters, let everything out. And I can tell you, only because of the. Sorry, guys. I'm almost done. Bete, come on. Okay. Dang, I was in a moment, but I can tell
lock
you this.
Lock yourself up in the closet.
Yeah, lock yourself up in the closet because thankfully I'm in a church where we get to experience God even on a Tuesday prayer service or a kid's service, right? But if you really want to have a genuine moment with God, it has to be one-on-one. Dude, I'm telling you, challenge yourself. Wake up early, lock the door, put on some worship music, and just start creating that moment. I promise you, some of the most beautiful interactions and some of the most beautiful feelings of really connecting with what God's love is really about, it's not going to be at an altar call. It's not going to be at a convention. It's not going to be at an expo. It's like some of my most intimate moments have been locked up in my office, just wrecked in tears, laying down on the floor. But man, oh my God, it's so romantic. That's the only word I can think of. It is so romantic. Yeah,
it is.
Like just, and I, some people were like, oh, what the heck? But like his love like caresses me. Like it's almost like if I feel him just touching me, but yeah, in a way.
And the people who say that it's weird, bro, he causes his bride. So chill. Bro,
it's I've had some moments where I just, it's like I physically feel him just I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it's so calming and man, some of on the anyways.
Whew. Yeah, and again, this is how I'm going to end it before I pray. He loves us no matter what. His love is so perfect.
He does.
But we're not married to him yet. The Bible says that we are going to be his bride. Which means right now we're in the courting stage.
Yeah.
In the courting stage, you have to show the other person how much you actually love them so they can decide if they want to spend the rest of eternity with you.
And that's what we're doing with Christ right now.
Exactly.
I'm going to prove to you that I want to spend the rest of eternity with you in heaven.
That's all the gospel is. The gospel is show God that you want to spend eternity in heaven by showing him that you can love him now.
Yeah. And I know you say we'll end it, but one more thing. And you got to understand, when you're dating someone with the intent of marrying them, you're going to make mistakes along the way. 100%. There's going to be more where the party's like, do I even want to be with you forever? Because sometimes we just have those moments. Like, is this even worth it? Right?
It's just like a real relationship. Like, yo, me and God are beefing right now. I don't even want to talk to him right now.
Yeah, I'm not even going to.
It's true. We have to be real. It's true.
I know what I'm saying is I've already told my story a million times. I'm not going to go into it. Trust me, I've had those moments. I'm like, God, I'm done with you. You're really pissing me off. I'm going to be real. I'm so sorry for using that word. But I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Is this how you want to try me? I bet. Say less. Like, I've had those moments where I've just told him, like, chill out. Right? But at the end of the day, man,
his love is perfect. Whether we love him perfectly or imperfectly, he loves us perfectly.
Yeah, man.
Undeservingly, because that's just how he is. That's the kind of God that we serve. I don't know how
someone can have a moment, even if it's just a moment of feeling God's love in the church or whatever, and still decide, nah, I'm not. I just make it make sense. How do you feel that those genuine moments?
Don't even get me started with that because I'm asking myself right now. I'm like, bro, guys, what are you doing?
And like, how do you choose? How do you experience a moment with God and still say, nah, I don't want this.
I'm good.
Like, there's no, like, how? Like, it's so beautiful. It's addicting. Like, how?
It is.
Like, how are you going to say no to this? Like, it's, I don't know, man.
But for those who are believers who are listening to us, start asking, read 1 Corinthians 13:4 every day and ask yourself if you're loving.
I love that verse.
Yeah, the one that we read, love is patient. It's like, are you loving God in that way? And if you don't know the Lord yet, I'm gonna pray this prayer. And before I pray this prayer, I need you guys to understand, you know, our main goal of this podcast is to reach souls. So if you've never heard the correct version of Jesus, and I can guarantee you most times people have it, he loves you. He loves you past your flaws. He loves you past your sin. He loves you past your mistakes. He loves you perfectly because everything about him is perfect. And his perfect love, he wants to share it with an imperfect people. So that way, one day, you can be made perfect through his love. We're not going to be imperfect forever. You have a choice that you have to make. If you want to become perfect one day, the only way to become perfect is to be loved by the perfect one. So pray this prayer if you haven't before. And you got to mean it. If you're just going to say it just to say it, then don't do it. It's got to come from a place of genuine. It has to be sincere. But he's waiting for you to enter into a relationship with him. Relationship goals. We're talking about love. That's what he wants. He wants to be in a relationship with you. So
your man crush Monday, 7 days a week.
Yes, sir. Father God, we come before you. We praise you, Father. We thank you. We glorify you. We honor you in everything that we do and everything that we say. We are so grateful, Lord, for your love that is perfect. Your love that is untouchable, that is way above human standard of love. A love that knows no limits, knows no boundary, and a love that literally is power. Father, we pray right now for those who are listening. If they are a believer and they're just having one of those seasons where they don't feel your love, they feel a little bit disconnected. Lord, let them just feel a touch of your love again and start breaking down the barriers. Lord, open their eyes through love so they can start seeing the reasons why they feel disconnected, addressing those areas so they can fall in love with you and return to the first love like your word says. And Father God, for those who don't know you yet, I pray, Father God, that you have an encounter with them. Lord, let them feel and have that moment of love so they can feel how addicting it is to be loved by you, Father God. I pray that you reach them in any way, shape, and form, Father God, so they can feel what we feel. Lord, show me love, Father God, because I almost died right now through this cop. But Lord, in all sincerity, we are grateful for everything that you do for us, even through tough moments like Mikey and I right now are going through on a daily basis. You know, life is not easy, but we are grateful that it doesn't have to be easy. It just has to have you. As long as we have you, Father, we know that we're okay. And that's what your love is all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, we love y'all. We appreciate you guys listening as always. We're going to be posting soon a merchandise drop where we're going to have a list of a couple t-shirts that you're going to be able to pre-order. You got to go on our link tree. You have to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. So that way you can see when that drops, and then it'll be a pre-order. You know, basically I'm going to be setting it up, and there's like a form where you pull out what size, what color you want. And then, you know, we'll order all the merch and get them shipped out to you guys. So that'll hopefully happen in the next week. I'm trying to get it nice and organized. But again, follow us on all social media, go on our link tree. We're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
And remember, true love is not in the shape of a diamond. It's in the shape of a cross.
Dang. I dig it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Peace out. Love, peace, chicken grease. Love you. I'm going to leave it at that because that was a mic drop. Love you guys.
Hey, get it.
See you next week. That was a mic drop. See you guys next week.